Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Oh, the sunshine rays of May are just around the corner, and I can already start to feel it. I got the first farmer's tan, first track tan of the summer in the spring last Thursday at the open test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Very exciting stuff. Welcome back to Speed Street. Joey Molinaro, Connor Daly, Ben Walden. We got a motor race this weekend in Barber coming up. And we had the open test last week, and like I mentioned, next week is officially May. We are in it. It is upon us. Very, very exciting. And today, we got a big-time guest, folks. Connor teased it last night. We teased it on our Speed Street channels. Logan Sargeant, the American born, the American hero in Formula One, will be joining us. All fantastic stuff. Thanks for being with us. But I can't do it, of course, without Connor Daly. How are we doing, CD? What's going on in your world?
Oh, it's great, man. As you mentioned, we have great guests this week. I'm just starting to throw messages out on the internet. Just starting to really cast some lines on some guests here. Really honey-dicking everyone with Dale Jr.'s name, obviously trying to bring him in, saying that we're a large media organization, of course. But it's been great to get right back on the horse after moral and mental and just sad times of Long Beach. We got right on the horse at Indy at the test. And we have a great horse yet again. You're a big horse guy, Joey. Great horse, fast horse. The bitnow.com horse at the Speedway was an absolute rocket ship. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Indy test, open testing. There was a lot of interesting stuff that was going on there. Big weekend for NASCAR. My side job, Talladega was quite interesting. Some massive accidents in the Xfinity series. I felt slightly, maybe not the most exciting cup race until the end. Some interesting stuff there. And obviously F1 is back this week. So we have an F1 driver who will be racing this weekend, Logan Sargeant. So we will do a little F1 preview because we're a big motorsport show. We're motorsport all across the board. Even though I said I will no longer be happy with Formula One, we still respect it as a motor racing series. So, let's get into the Indy test.
We have the whole news and rumor about Liberty wanting to come in and make IndyCar the feeder series. They'll just smoke flying around all over the internet. That's pretty wild this week.
Yeah. I think that had been said before some other time, and this now resurfaced. I don't know. That stuff I don't really pay much attention to because it's just kind of course, someone would say that or some story would be said about that. And I honestly, seeing things like that frustrate me so much, I don't even get into it. I'm like, I know it's already kind of that stuff so far left field. And you got to think of the legitimacy of that as well. Be like, Roger, that's not going to happen. While Roger's alive, that's not going to happen. So there was a lot of interesting stuff we had. We had Formula E environmental protesters protesting at an electric racing event, which I thought might have been the most ironic thing I've ever seen and just the most sad thing for human brain power to comprehend. So that was hysterical. It was like a South Park episode. Yeah, it was very ironic.
Let's get into the open test though, man, because obviously you had big
out there.
Yeah, I was out there. It was fantastic. The the mounds in turn two were packed.
The vibes, great vibes.
Dude, I got out there. I met some buddies with my son at Founders Coffee right there in Speedway. We got out there about a little before 10 a.m. So a little before all starting to go down because they bumped it up, which was cool. And from that point on already, it was packed. And then as the day kept progressing and, you know, more people taking half days or what have you, and the sun kept coming out and, you know, it was beating us all, but it was great. It was packed. So the vibes, the scenery was great. There was a whole bunch of kids there on like field trips. I was like, grassroots, baby, let's go. Let's get him here. Your stepdad, the president of IMS, was out doing his thing, passing out donuts in the suit, handshaking, kissing babies. I think literally kissing babies, you know, like there's a bunch of kids out there, like I said. But it was great from our perspective. Super, super great to be out there and entertaining. But then obviously, big day for the 20 ride.
Yeah, no, great to see everyone out there, honestly. We didn't get to go out there because we never got out of the race car the whole day except for when the rookies and the refreshers ran because we knew the weather on Friday was going to be awful. So we had about 9 sets of tires to use and we're just trying to run through as much stuff as possible. But I saw on the big screens a lot of people. So great to see all the human beings out there, the support and the excitement for the month. Is tremendous. I know for my own self, it felt great to get back to the track, just rolling in, getting the helmet on, getting in oval mode, sitting out there on pit lane. Just super exciting. Although crazy windy day, like windy days at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway suck. They are brutal. The wind at 220 miles an hour is crazy. But yeah, starting right out the gate. The interesting thing about Indy, and I feel like if you ask a lot of experienced drivers, they'll kind of tell you, you know a lot in your first two runs in the car. You know a lot if the weather is, you know, not crazy hot. You know, obviously, it was a little bit less windy in the morning when we first went out. And, you know, our strategy for our team, you know, we like to go out first run of the, you know, the season at IMS. We like to all go out. You know, very similar setups and go out and just say, hey, what do we got? What do we got feeling wise? How do we, and all of us were very similar. So that's good. You know, we feel similar things. So that means all the cars are very close in what they, you know, are doing. But as soon as we kind of get out there and start running through things, I'm like, man, this feels good. It just feels good again. You know, we're able to run with people. We're able to run and get some speed. We're able to, you know, tow up on people easily, which is what you want in a race car. And there were a lot of new things to try from a series perspective. They gave us, you know, new aero pieces to try for this race to obviously try to make the racing even better. Because it's been tough last couple of years. The races, I would say, you know, haven't been as good as they could be, you know, compared to some of the other races in the last 10 to 15 years. So it was an exciting day. A lot of positive, you know, right out the gate, we were in the top 10, I think, in the first session. Even though, you know, the funny thing about Indy is you always look at results like, oh my gosh, like this person was here, this person was there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. And it's, if you happen to get lucky and get a good lap where you come out of the pits and you get a great tow and no one pits in front of you or no one comes out of the pits in front of you, you have a great lap. But there could be, I mean, if you look, Alexander Rossi was like 28th. Alexander Rossi is not 28th fastest. It's just, that's just not how it is.
Yeah.
That's why anyone who looks at these results, and again, we were second fastest at the end of the day, very happy about that. But I was not that fast until, I mean, overall, when it comes to putting a lap together, we were like 15th, 16th, whatever it was, you know, about coming towards the end of the day, which is completely fine because we use those days as race running, right? We're getting in there, we're dicing it up with people and we're passing people left and right feeling like heroes. But to do that, you're not setting up for a big speed. And even so, you know, that last lap that we did to put us up there just happened to be great. I mean, I passed a car on that lap, lifted into one, but happened to be in a train of fast cars and we did a big lap. So, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. People always get angry at other, like they're like, oh, you know, you're just out there looking for toes. Let me tell you who looks for a lot of toes and gets really good toes. Scott Dixon. And I would like to do whatever Scott Dixon does because that guy is good all the time at the Speedway. So I always see Scott. He comes out of the pits and he's in the biggest toe possible and he gets a huge lap time to put up on the board. And hey, that's just motorsport at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I enjoyed it a lot. Joey, did it look like there were a lot of cars running together, people out there kind of dicing it up? Did it look like cars could run closer from a fan's perspective out there in turn two?
Yeah, it was. So I'd say the first session, you know, that morning session, you know, obviously it felt more just as a feel out, right? And it didn't feel like there was a lot of cars running together. Everybody was just kind of getting their wits about them, it seemed like, right? But then I left at about 4 o'clock. So that second session from, you know, 2 or 2:15 or whatever until I left, me and my buddy Sam were sitting there. We were like, holy cow, like they're really doing this. Like they're running on the front stretch. Like, you know, it seemed like 6, 7, 8, 9 cars at a time, you know, kind of lining up. So I felt like there was a lot of action. I felt like it was entertaining. I felt like it was, you know, just got you ready for the month of May, both obviously for you guys, but obviously for the fans as well. You know, you're hearing cars go around and you're seeing them go around and you're picking out which liveries you like best. You know, that was cool. It was interesting, Connor, too, because on the big board, you know, they have the video board out there. Oh. And they're playing the action as it's happening. They're playing the Peacock feed.
Yeah, which great. Point, thank you, Peacock, for doing that, by the way, too. Great, yeah. Great to have a... I mean, people could watch it at home, stream it at home. That's great access for our fans. We got to be happy about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Especially coming off the numbers at Long Beach for, for, you know, the streaming. But it was interesting because at one point I'm sitting there watching with my buddy on the video board and they put up a side-by-side and they've done that. They had done that before during the live session. But at this point, we didn't know they had put up a side-by-side of last year's race where somebody crashed.
I know. I was a victim of this, too.
Dude.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I was like, we were all like, whoa, 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 whoa. And because, like, the lighting seemed similar on the side-by-side. I mean, it looked like what we had been watching during the open test. And so we had that brief moment of freak out of like, oh, holy shit, somebody just shit into the wall in turn one.
I was out of the car. I was a victim of this. We had something that we had to fix on the car, and so the car had to go back to the garage. And I'm sitting up on the pit stand with the in the pits, just looking. And I have the radio on to the guys there on the stand, and I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, oh, someone's in the wall. And I was like, wait a second, that was last year. I was like, don't do that to us. You can't. That's hard.
It was
wild.
So. I mean, I think definitely, and then I went home and watched the last hour and a half or so with it extended to 6:30, because, you know, you guys didn't run on Friday, you knew you probably weren't going to, but I thought it felt real racy, you know, I thought that there was, you know, you saw the passes, you saw the setting up, it was very, 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 very good day, let's just say.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot there that we can be happy about as a series. I think, you know, as from sitting in the seat, I'll give you guys an early judging of who looked fast. I would say all three of our cars. I would say me and Ed probably looked. I would say we were most confident in the team so far. But Renus is obviously going to be there. He's going to be fine. I would say the next strongest cars are Ganassi and some of the Andretti cars. Kyle Kirkwood looked very, very fast. Here's what will be interesting for you guys to look at when it comes to the Ganassi cars. Ganassi were not running their Indy 500 cars. So they were running their road course cars that just ran at Long Beach, and they were still fast. So I think you always get a little bit more speed out of your cars that are fully Indy prepared.
Why would they do that?
Well, because I would say they can. Well, not logistics, but maybe they might not have had time to switch over, you know, four engines into four, you know, four cars that are running at Indy. You know, there's definitely some time and energy that it takes to do that. Also, risk. You don't want to risk your Indy 500 cars in the test.
Sure.
For us, it's just something that we do because we've been able to be confident enough to do that. But watch out for Ganassi. I think they looked fast, but I think they will be even faster with their actual Indy 500 cars that have been prepared and in the wind tunnel and, you know, body fit for that. So keep an eye out there. But Kirkwood looked fast. Joseph Newgarden looked very fast. I think Joseph was the probably the best out of the Penske's. He looked really strong. I have to run around with him for a little bit. Scott McLaughlin, obviously strong as well. Me and him diced it out at the front of a pack for like three or four laps. That was fun. We got to kind of mess around a little bit, which was a great time. I always love racing with Scott. But other than that, I would say the Ray Hall cars, I would say, are probably the ones looking for speed. And that was probably the only cars that I really got to run around for the most part. Man, it felt great in our car. So I tell you what, I've never felt more confident in my life leaving the test day. Obviously, things can change. Weather can change. Crazy things can happen. But that's our Indy car. And that's the same Indy 500 chassis we had last year, which felt great. And it feels even better now. So kudos to the Ed Carpenter Racing guys and the whole team there for coming back with a, you know, an absolute heater of a wagon. It gives me all kinds of reasons to smile going into the month of May. That's for sure.
You mentioned they were getting a lot of different things to kind of test out, try out with the car. How much of that is kind of a reflection of what we saw at Texas and trying to get that racing up to that, or is it at all?
Texas is, I would say, completely different, because we went from being probably the worst at Texas, my own self, and you know, I'm part of that. We struggled there, but completely different feel and completely different car at Indy. But, you know, some of those things, some of those aero pieces, you could run at Texas, but also you could run them at Indy now. So there's a lot of great things that the series have given us, which is positive, very positive. So I'm pumped. I'd say there were a couple guys. Now, this was interesting. I would say, obviously, not really supposed. We got to be careful of these tests, right? Like, no one's out there. Like, we're running in race traffic, and we're trying to get a good feel for the race car. But there are some moves that are made by some drivers where you're like, well, why would you risk that at this at this test? And, man, I'd tell you what. Pato was doing just what he was doing in Long Beach at Indy as well, firing it underneath people last second, trying to make some wild moves. I sat down with Marcus Erickson for a drink Friday night after the 2 days that, well, the one day that we did and the second day we were supposed to, and I watched Pato go underneath him side by side into turn one. I was like, basically the finish of the 2022 Indy 500 was happening right in front of me. But Pato was on the inside this time and Marcus was on the outside and neither of them lifted. And I was like, oh, this is funny. I even said to my spotter in the short shoot of one and two, because I lifted thinking they were both like potentially in the wall. And I was like, hey, how about that? He's like, oh, yeah, I don't know about that. And it was funny to see, obviously, two really good drivers. But boy, they were driving each other deep into some of these corners. And it was great to see. So you see the juices flowing early. At the Speedway, love to see a few close calls, because there always will be. I was also buried in the middle of a pack and the five car. Pato was right in front of me in turn two, and he caught the curb in turn two, which you never want to do. Yep. But he showed, obviously, big fast hands. Pato Mania were big fans there, and caught the car very, very skillfully. But it just got everything going. Very excited. We ended up obviously P2, happy to be there, and can't wait to be going for it with Team Chevy in a couple weeks time. So really pumped, and that was I would say the open test at Indy. Sadly, it looks like we could run on Friday too, which is a shame. The weather completely flip-flop. Rain was crazy, but by the time we got to about 1 o'clock, it was almost dry. So I feel like we might have called on the day a little bit early. That's sad, because I know there were some people that were looking forward to going out there, and I know we could have run a little bit more, and we were open to run a little bit more. So I would say that was a bit of a miss. But here's the thing. If you call it early, it's always going to dry out and think, oh, we shouldn't have called it. If you don't call it, you wait around 8 hours, and it rains the rest of the day, and you ruin everyone's day. And so that's how life works. That's how racing works as well.
And, I mean, you know, I take solace in the fact that Thursday was just absolutely beautiful. It was like 82. You had a little bit of cloud coverage right about 1:45, 2 o'clock. But other than that, I mean, it was just a perfect day to be out there. And you know, you guys ran for a long, long freaking time on Thursday.
Yeah. I was in the car for like almost 4 hours straight when I looked at my Whoop. I mean, I was cramped in that car for so long, I could almost, my right butt cheek went numb. And I was like, I have to get out of this car because it's like an endurance stint. So it was nice to get to the end of the day.
And I told my buddies, it was like, I texted him at the end of the day. I was like, I got too much sun. I got a weird farmer's tan. I'm like weirdly track tired. You know, I feel kind of bloated because I've been drinking beers all day. I was like, it feels like May. I'm ready for May. So from our perspective, that's what it felt like. And got some exciting news from our pal, Rusty Eckstein, Mount Comfort RV.
Nice.
May 8th is move-in day for Joey. I don't know when Connor's moving in, but May, Joey be inside the track, and it can't come fast enough. I know that for sure. Are you going the 4th, the 5th? Do you have a plan? What's your...
I think we're getting in there a little bit earlier before Rev. Obviously very, very excited to have Mount Comfort RVs there, ready to go, our homes for the month. Pumped about that. So we obviously also had a NASCAR race over the weekend. Talladega was a big one for NASCAR. A lot of people there. And let me tell you, from seeing videos of that weekend, it looks absolutely electric. The concerts that are going on there, Talladega Boulevard or wherever's going on down there, a lot of crazy stuff. And before we get into our interview with Logan Sargent, the complete opposite motorsport, NASCAR, it was quite a race. And I would say the Xfinity side, I actually enjoyed watching the Xfinity race a little bit more. You know, some people maybe might not have that opinion, but seemed to be a little bit more racy, and people seemed to be a little bit able to create runs and run three wide. And I enjoyed watching that race. Some big crashes. Daniel Hemric upside down. That was wild. Some crazy stuff going on there. But I thought a good race. The Cup race again, and I felt a little bit of this at Daytona. Those cars running in two lanes it's tough to generate the runs. It's tough to get, you know, to be confident enough to move your position to maybe create a third lane. So now that I actually have a driver's perspective of a little bit of what that felt like, it was interesting to see. The most exciting part was the green flag pit stops. You had old buddy, friend of the show, Chase Briscoe, sliding in and spinning into pit lane. You had Tyler Reddick looking like he was out of control, hitting the wall into the pit lane. I mean, that was the most exciting part of the race.
It was
crazy to see that happen.
It's always like weird whenever Tony Stewart's on the broadcast and Briscoe, or so, just because, you know, it's like that weird of, that's the boss, but he's called the police.
Tony sounds so pissed. He sounds so upset. Man, and they had Tony Stewart on the side of that car, and it's sitting doing weird fake donuts in pit lane, and Tony's just like, well, there's my cartoon face doing donuts in pit lane with a bunch of blown tires.
Tough. At one point, Chase kept firing it, and he was like, Tony said something in such a dismayed voice of like, yeah, that rear left is just going nowhere.
Yeah. and you know what? The funniest part about those super speedway races and the craziest part, Chase Briscoe finishes in the top five. Like, great day for the boy. He had to come back from, two laps down and top five day. Doesn't matter what happens in the beginning, as long as you cash those checks at the end. I tell you what, that was very NASCAR, and it was very, very happy. I was very happy for my buddy Chase as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You had Chase Elliott coming back.
Chase Elliott, boom, stage win. I thought he was the only competitor for a while with the way things were being marketed, but hey, Chase Elliott's back, according to everything that I saw on the internet.
Literally the only billboards and commercials. But real quick, how many times have we seen Bubba Wallace right there at the front on a super speedway? And I know it wasn't, but it's just like, it's insane. I feel like every time there's a super speedway race, I'm like, yeah, Bubba's right there. I bet on Bubba. He does pretty well at super speedways. And then
he's
something
in the hunt.
Crazy happens. I know, but something crazy happens. And he gets taken out, and he tweeted about it. And, was kind of just like, we were close. We're right there. We'll get it. But, damn, man, I'm like, man, this is the time. Bubba's going to do it this time.
Definitely not Blaney's fault there, though. I mean, you can't expect to move that many times. And, I found myself a little bit confused on that one. I found myself a little bit confused if you saw my Twitter on the Noah Gregson and Ross Chastain incident as well. Noah Gregson having a great day. But so much energy was coming from behind him. And those cars are difficult to hold on to when you're getting shoved like that. So Noah slides up a little bit. Ross goes right in. But again, I don't understand it because there is still like two more laps left. And there is so much time that like Ross and those guys behind him, again, everyone's pushing and it's super speedway racing and I get it. But like you have time to pass him. Like you have time to get there. Now everyone in the train wants to win, right? So that's a little bit, but for Ross, maybe he had nowhere else to go. I try to give him credit, but it didn't seem necessary. That's my only opinion there. Felt bad for Noah because he had a great day and could have came home right there at the front. But even at the end, when you go to the end, no one had any fuel left. Blaney's trying to make a move to the lead, but Bubba can't block that many times. You just can't do that. That track is so massive, and he was already a little squirrely leading those trains of cars, and he just lost it. And honestly, Blaney had to go somewhere, and you can't expect him to be. You can't just drive sideways all across. Like you can't swerve all across the track. You're gonna get wrecked. So again, part of me thinks that if you're Bubba, you go to the bottom, you stay to the bottom, you have cars behind you. And you still have a whole lap to come around there as well. And there's a lot of runs that can be made. I personally, my own personal opinion, I would rather, potentially not win the race right there, but give myself a chance, at least stay in the hunt till out of turn four. Now, again, there a yellow can come out. We've seen that happen. You always want to be the leader when the yellow comes out. Tough to see that for Blaney. But boy, Kyle Busch just slipped right on through in the McLaren wagon, which is hilarious to see him win in a McLaren sponsored car, custom grills though, not machines. So that was interesting. Kyle Busch obviously loving his new team. Ryan Blaney coming real close, and I actually part of me thinks those guys wouldn't have had enough fuel. I still think if they were flat out all the way to the checkered flag, I think Keselowski wins that race. I think one of the guys that might have had a little bit more fuel, might have been saving fuel a little bit better. I don't think Blaney has enough fuel to make it. I don't know if Kyle has enough fuel to make it, but these are all speculations that we can get to. So that's a bit of a NASCAR summary for us there, and that's how it all went down in Talladega, it seems like.
Yep, I'm gonna head to Dover next. Gonna have some of those throwback rides there, right?
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think it's all really for Darlington coming up, but still excited to see a couple of those liveries.
Oh shit. Okay. I got the D's mixed up. It's not my world. And I watch. It's not my world. It's all good. Well, like you mentioned, quite opposite of NASCAR, Formula One. Our first active Formula One driver guest, Logan Sargeant. You want to talk to him?
Absolutely. Let's get into it. As we mentioned, we have an incredible guest here today on our fantastic program. He is a very talented young American man. He is, some would say, an American hero. First driver in many years to be full-time in Formula One, the world championship. Probably a Netflix star as well in the future. He's coming up on Netflix as well. Logan Sargeant, we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. How are we feeling here? We've got a race. It seems like you guys have had a large spring break, it seems like. But we're going to Baku now, right? How are we feeling? How are we doing?
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys for having me. Wouldn't go as far as an American hero, but I'm doing my best.
You're repping the stars and stripes. That's what we love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a weird spring break, to be honest, because we were meant to have, the Chinese Grand Prix in this gap.
Yeah.
And That got removed, and then all of a sudden we had all this free time. The team just pretty much filled it with media obligations, loads of days on the sim. So it's been honestly a bit of a long 3 weeks, just ready to get back in the car. That's for sure. And it's going to be an interesting weekend because different format going into this one because it's a sprint weekend. So a new experience for me. But, you know, I think the long straights, slippery car, we might have a chance.
I love that. And honestly, what's exciting as a rookie too, I know how rookie years go. You're just starting to get into it, right? You start racing things you want to improve on, but things have gone really well, I would say, at times. And so then to have a break all of a sudden, that's tough. And media and simulator, that's way less fun than just getting to the racetrack and doing it. But driving for Williams, very, very cool opportunity. Obviously, my dad drove for Williams, so I there's a bit of a connection there. Definitely love that that group of people. It seems like it's a fun group too. After meeting a lot of those guys and girls down there in Austin last year, when we got to hang out at the race before you were announced as a full-time American legend in the Formula One series, it seems like a good group. How has that been meshing with that group so far? And how does it feel going forward? Obviously, you said slippery car here, fast down the straights. Let's hope for a good weekend.
That's the plan. To be honest, it is a really good group. And it wasn't too hard for me to, well, it wasn't hard at all for me to mesh with the team because I've been with them since the end of 2021. It's been, honestly, the majority of the group is pretty much the same since I joined. And, you know, I feel like, we really have a great friendship between everyone within the team. And it makes the weekends, a little bit easier to get through. I feel like the team as a whole, like, we're on the right trajectory. It's going in the right direction. The car's better than it's been in the last 5 years, that's for sure. It's looking good. We got to keep it going. But as you said, there's been, positives throughout the first few races. There's been negatives. It's not easy to get on top of right away, but I think the fact that, I've been able to see that, the pace is there to make something happen. I just need to, clean some things up and start getting on top of it, which made the 3 week break even longer than it was. But I think the team is, really, really good. They've showed me support throughout the whole process. And not a better group of people that I could be working with in my first year.
Logan, what's been the biggest change in your life, whether in the car, out of the car, since you've become a full-time Formula One driver?
Definitely get a lot more
Instagram followers.
Yeah. I get a lot more love and a lot more hate for what it's worth, but I love it all. I love it all. I think the biggest thing for me has been since the end of last year. I mean, I honestly haven't had more than 2 weeks to myself. I think it's been constant prep. It's been constant time in the gym. It's been constant media, and it's draining. So it's just trying to, when you do get those moments to take a break and take a step back, you have to really use them to sort of recharge, let your brain rest. And those days are really, really, really important, to be honest. So that's been the biggest thing, just trying to balance things out a little bit better. It's a lot. There's a lot more than just driving an F1, as I'm quickly realizing. It's more like a racing driver and a promotional, I guess, piece. But it's all good. And just trying to figure it out as I go.
Well, that promotional piece, it's interesting you say that, right? Because Formula One is a world entity, right? It's a world championship. And I saw recently you guys got to go to New York City in the race suit, there with in the New York Stock Exchange doing cool stuff. What's that like? Because obviously, the Formula One boom in America is massive. I was wearing a Daniel Ricciardo hoodie just yesterday at a Subway in Indianapolis, and the guy asked me, "Oh, you think Daniel's going to stay with Aston Martin?" Obviously, that's completely not even the right team, and nothing is, but people in Carmel, Indiana are talking about Formula One, and that's got to be cool. But when you're in New York City, obviously doing some promotional events, what is that like? Like, because I obviously think I know what it's like, but as the American guy, like, you are the guy. A lot of support there, a lot of questions. What was that like?
First of all, that was sick. That was an awesome trip. We flew straight from Melbourne to New York, and
long flight.
No, yeah, long flight. That's for sure. But to be honest, it was 3 days, full on media, full on appearances. I had my brother there with me, which was pretty cool. And yeah, we were flat out pretty much 9 to 4 each day. And we did a lot of really, really cool things. And I think a lot of good came out of it. And I mean, to be there in Times Square, we did the NASDAQ bell. And even, you know, we got a lot of pictures with some of the American fans who were there. Whether they knew who I was or not, now they do, which is good.
Hey, if you're wearing a suit, they definitely know.
Exactly. But I mean, I hadn't been to New York since I was a little kid, so I didn't really remember it from the first time I was there. So to go back, it was a really, really cool 3 days. And even just, okay, the experience as a whole, being, you know, a Formula One driver back in America doing the media was amazing. But just to come back to the city, and I don't know, it's like I got to the city and I could just feel this atmosphere and this, I don't know, ray of positivity. Like, I just loved it. I thought everything about New York City was amazing. And to be honest, I can't wait to get back.
Logan, do you ever see yourself wanting to run the Indianapolis 500 maybe one day?
Definitely. I want to do it. That's for sure. I think your career is not complete until you've done it, right?
There you go.
I think it's a vital piece of the puzzle. So yeah, one day I'm going to get around to it.
Have you talked to the other guys in the F1 paddock about it?
I haven't spoken to them directly about it. I feel like generally it seems like most are against it. But then again, some are for it as well. So I don't know. It's a weird one. It just depends if, you know, they see the risk being worth the reward. I do. I would definitely do it. I think
because you're American.
There's nothing like it.
You're ready to take the risk. I respect that. Joey brings up an interesting point, though. Like, I think there's always this wild debate. There's always these, you know, crazy things that are said about, you know, and I did that whole try to race in Europe, right? I won races over there. Like, I know how that goes. I know the journey that you've been on. You know, tried to go to F2, was a Formula One. I've done that. So I definitely know the difficulty that it took to get there. And I respect that grind, right? But I do think, obviously, a lot of the drivers in IndyCar, right? Like, in the series in IndyCar, I think very, very talented drivers as well, of course. Yeah. And I love to see the interaction that sometimes a lot of us have. You know, Fernando coming over, right, to race in the 500. Yeah. You know, getting to know him was awesome. I think I love hearing you say that you'd love to do the Indy 500, right? Because it is cool. And I think it is obviously one of the largest events in the world. I mean, my opinion, it is the largest event in the world. No big deal.
I agree.
But do you see some of those guys, I think, saying things that are maybe a little bit judgmental of the IndyCar paddock? I mean, you obviously know Kyle Kirkwood very well, our most recent winner. Do you see that where it's like, hey, maybe they do deserve a little bit more respect than sometimes is given?
It's hard for me to speak for the others. I do believe you have a difference of opinion across the whole paddock. I think some believe that the level is high, and I am one of those. I think I truly believe that there's a lot of amazing drivers in IndyCar. You know, I have respect for all you guys 100%. And I love the fact that, you know, we're starting to get these opportunities to race against each other a little bit more. It'd be nice, honestly, if the races weren't on the same weekend.
Because
you know, that's another thing that makes it a lot more challenging. You can't ask an F1 driver to miss an F1 race,
of course,
to go and do it. So I think the way to make it a real option for F1 drivers to go and take part in that race is to make it more accessible, whether that's F1 move a race or whether that's Indy move the race. So I don't know. I don't want to speak for the others, but I know how good IndyCar is, and I know how competitive the field is. And I absolutely respect the hell out of it.
No, we love to hear that for sure, because it's something that, and we obviously respect F1, right? I think there's a few things that, you know, sometimes we obviously hear, and a lot of us, like, a lot of us, for sure, the honesty thing is, a lot of us are jealous. Those that didn't get to F1, right? a lot of us for sure have that jealousy in us because we would have loved a chance to have Formula One, right? That, and it's awesome. But I think having that respect of all the series is really cool because I think watching you, watching all the other drivers, you know, drivers that I've raced against growing up as well, you know, Carlos, Valtteri, you know, certain guys that I've known, you know, I've known Max for a long time. It's great to see that. And having Fernando come over to do the 500, I think it's awesome, right? We got Kyle Larson coming over from NASCAR next year to do the 500.
You're right.
Like if Monaco somehow is the weekend before or the weekend after, that would open up. You're never going to move the Indy 500 from Memorial Day weekend, but it's going to be something that hopefully there is more opportunities in the future.
That's 100% the problem because it's hard. I mean, like you said, the Indy 500 is not going to get moved. Monaco's hard to move because it's a street race. So it's already booked out for, you know, whatever. That's the weekend. It just feels like they do these things on purpose. It was like,
I know.
It was like the same in karting back in the day. Like you had the Super Nationals the same weekend as the World Championships in Europe.
Yes.
Like
that's actually a great point. I remember that.
Like why do they do this so that you can't like come together and you know, do this unbelievable race? And I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? It is tough.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're not going to make you answer like why we have to figure this out right now, but it is cool that you want to do it.
No, that's for sure. I will get around to it at some point.
We know that you and Kyle Kirkwood are good buddies. Is Kyle Kirkwood a better driver or fisherman?
Oh, Kyle. Well, considering he just dominated Long Beach, I've got to say, respect to him for that. It was really good to see. You know, he's put in the hard work over the last year and a bit, and to see him have a great weekend is awesome. He's a great fisherman, but he's a better driver.
I love to see it. So back to Formula One a little bit. I was watching qualifying Saudi Arabia, I believe, when you got a lap deleted in qualifying that I thought was complete baloney because that was a heck of a lap in qualifying too. Like I was like, man, that's our guy right there. Boom. Great lap. That's kind of annoying to deal with, obviously. But looking forward, I love the support that you're getting from the team. It seems like the team principals you guys have there, great people. What can we expect? Are we moving forward to fighting for the point spots more often here? Obviously, you have a great teammate too, Alex Albon. He's a fast driver. That's got to help as well to have his data to look at and to be able to go off of someone who's really experienced.
100%. So far, we've had all the pieces to the puzzle, but we haven't put them together. So, Saudi was a tough one. They weren't officiating anything to do with what happened in qualifying in free practice. And
I know.
You know, that makes it a little bit ridiculous. That changed the whole complexity of our weekend because we had a really good opportunity. But apart from that, we've had the pieces to do it. We haven't done it. So that's what we need to start to do. We've had this 3-week break. That's given teams a lot of time to, you know, make improvements. It's all relative. You know, I can say we've been working hard to improve. So hopefully that translates. But, you know, I think so far in the first three rounds, we've had a point scoring car. So we need to, we need to go and capitalize a little bit more, use what we have a little bit better. And, the goal is going to be to always fight for points no matter what. But, we need to see what happens with the rest. But I know we can do it, you know, as we were before.
I think one interesting question that for a lot of our fans are obviously IndyCar fans, NASCAR fans, but people that listen to this show have kind of, they seem to have adopted kind of all three of the top rungs of motorsport. As a young driver, right, you always look at Formula One, you look at the top level. I know from my experience, I looked at it like when I had my first race in IndyCar, I was like, maybe it's different. But it's still just racing. Like when you get to Formula One, like you're still just being the racing driver that you've always been, just at the highest level. So what has it been like when you, obviously the lights go out, you're starting, you're going up against Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, the Ferrari team, all these names that you watch and you hear of. Has that experience been any different? Has it been any different than what you've done all your life? It's just now at the highest level and everyone is very good, right?
Mistakes are costly. Yes. If you are not at the absolute top of your game every day, you will pay for it. And that is the biggest challenge. And I think, the way I look at it at the moment, whether it's for better or worse, it's not the way I would necessarily want to look at it, but, and you're not really up against Lewis, say.
That's true. Yeah.
All you're trying to do is maximize the capabilities of your car. And, I wish I was racing against Lewis or, the guys at the front, but unfortunately at the moment we can't do that. But, I think the biggest thing with it is if I go out and I perform to, what I'm capable of doing, I know that's good enough. But it's about executing that every single day, which is the extremely hard part, and putting it all together. A bit different to IndyCar, we really get one lap on the tire. Correct me if I'm wrong, whereas you guys push a bit more, if I'm not mistaken. But
sometimes it's one or two, but yeah.
That makes it quite difficult because you have this, you go into that last run and that last push lap, and the mentality has to be to attack, but if you make a mistake, qualifying's over. So it's a tricky situation, but you just have to try and deal with it and execute.
What's been the biggest holy shit moment, like in terms of celebrity you've met or somebody who's like DM'd you that they're like, hey, nice to meet you. And what's that been for you?
Connor was with me last year in Austin. When Brad Pitt walked in, were you there for that?
I was there. Man, we were sitting in there having lunch.
That's right. We were eating that Austin, Texas barbecue. And Brad Pitt walked in and had a talk with him, and that was like, holy shit, that's Brad Pitt.
Did you get a picture with him?
No, I didn't want to ask him for a picture.
Oh man, it's tough.
I don't know. I felt like, he was in our hospitality, he was a guest. I didn't want to bother with him with a picture.
The whole reason he's there, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
They are quite interesting about the Formula One movie they're doing as well. The movie Brad Pitt's, doing about Formula One should be pretty cool.
So speaking of like the TV stuff, Netflix, obviously you guys have they sat down with you much so far? Like, have you got to do a little bit of that? At the end of the last season, there's a little bit of you, right? Yeah. Hey, there's our guy, America. Here we go. This is a new driver. Has that been kind of cool to be a part of so far?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I've done the first couple interviews, and you do the, close the thing. That was pretty cool. And I know they are, I don't know if I'm really allowed to say, I don't know, but they're with me in Miami. So that would be pretty cool. So, should get some good content from that, and we did a day in London, which was cool. So yeah, we're definitely doing some stuff. They've been super, super nice, and what's the word? Very open to professional. it's been really cool so far working with them. I'm looking forward to seeing what they make of it, but definitely excited to see what comes.
That's really cool.
Has your face been one of those like icons on Netflix for Drive to Survive yet? If you're scrolling,
not yet. But it was pretty cool. They had in Australia that those super big poster heads of all the drivers.
Oh, nice!
And it was pretty cool seeing one of those, to be honest. But no, I'm not on the Netflix bit.
So, of the next few races, like obviously Miami's going to be huge. Like U.S. Grand Prix, U.S. driver, that. For me, the whole national pride thing is super cool. It's what my dad preached for years. Like when me and Rossi were trying to be American Formula One drivers, like the country getting behind your guy, right? It's like when you watch the Olympics, we probably cheer for America because we like to see our country. We cheer for our country. I think that'll be a cool experience for you. It's got to be something that you think of, like, hey, we're going back to Florida. You're a Florida man. Like this is going to be an awesome experience to be a part of. Does that feeling sink in, or when you get there And, you know, you already did the stuff, a little bit of stuff with Miami Dolphins. Like, that was really cool. But now you're the full-time guy. It's got to be, like, if you're looking ahead at the next few races, like, yeah, Monaco is cool. Like, there might be some other cool races. But, like, Miami's got to be, like, that's circled on the calendar.
Man, that's my homecoming. Come on.
I know.
That's the one.
Florida man.
Florida man. Absolutely. Yeah. I've never raced Formula Cars in America. So to be able
no way. Wow.
Yeah, man. Crazy. So to be able to have done the full circle from karting and coming back to literally down the road from where I started in Homestead, to have done that full circle and come back in an F1 car in an F1 event is going to be sick. It's definitely circled on the calendar, that's for sure. I'm already looking forward to it, but got to get through Baku first. But yeah. Yeah, man, I'm pumped up for it. It's going to be a good week. Going to be hectic. I've seen glimpses of my schedule. It's It's looking busy, but no, it's going to be good. It's going to be good just to get back and sleep in my bed for a couple nights. That'll be nice. But it's going to be a fun weekend.
Do we have any special helmets? Do we have any special USGP helmet coming?
We got a nice one coming.
That's what it's all about.
All I'm saying is very Miami.
I love it.
It's all in.
Hey, special helmets, that's what it's all about in Formula One. I like that.
It's all in. That's what I'm going to give you.
That's the hint. Okay. Are you inviting some people? You know, there's Jimmy Butler. Is he coming? And hey, fuck you. Come watch me.
Good question. I think family will obviously be there. They gave me, thank you to the event, they gave me 25 tickets. Grandstand tickets for friends from around my area to come and watch, which will be awesome. Which will be nice to hand out some of those to, you know, my day ones. And it's gonna be a cool weekend for sure. But it's gonna be, you know, at the same time, it's gonna be difficult. You know, it's gonna be hot, humid, physical. Never been to the track, but I'm gonna make it one of my best. I'm 100% on that.
That's awesome, man. I hope Jimmy Butler shows up. They're hot in the playoffs right now. I hope all the Miami folk come to support. That would be sick. A little Jimmy Butler jersey trade for maybe a suit, something like that.
Talk about Jimmy Buck, as he went crazy last night.
Yeah, exactly.
he had a big night. Normally, at least last year, a lot of Dolphins players were there being at the stadium. The stars were out, that's for sure. So it's gonna be cool to come back as a driver and see what the deal is.
Honestly, I'm gonna be watching. We have that weekend off. I think we have an event on like the 6th, but not a track event. So I'm gonna be watching. I still am not gonna go down to that race yet because I don't know if I could deal with the traffic and the coolness, and I don't know if anyone would give me a pass for that event because Miami's very cool. But maybe sometime I will come to you and ask for a pass. It might be Texas. No big deal. We'll see what happens. Joey's not been to a Formula One race yet, so he's got to experience a Formula One race at some point.
Absolutely. You have to. I know I'm listening to you in Las Vegas, Colin.
Well, okay. I don't know about that. I still think that's a big fire festival, but who knows? If that track gets done, I will be blown away. I'm excited to see it happen. Me and Rossi are going to Vegas next week, so I will give you an update on what the facility looks like.
Don't lie to me, Connor. I know you're going to be there.
I'll just be at the hotel the whole time. I'll be watching on TV.
Fair enough.
Man, okay, before you go, I will give you, we want to give, I like to do this for people that come on the show, and they don't expect it, but I want to get your top three Indy 500 predictions in no particular order. It doesn't have to be winner, second, third. I want you to pick three drivers that we are going to see in the top three at this year's Indy 500 because you are a Florida man, an American man. We have to get this prediction from you.
Well, Connor, I know you run good in Indy.
You're darn right.
I do know that. And I know Mike Carpenter's got a good car there. Man. Ganassi's always insane around Indy.
Strong.
So top three, which all three are my winner predictions, or top three in order?
Just give us three drivers that you expect. Boom. Here we go. Top three.
Oh, man. I gotta go Scott Dixon.
Okay. Yep. Reliable.
He's always there. He's always there. I'm gonna throw in a little wild card here. I've got my man Kyle in there.
Okay. All right. Kyle had a fast car on Thursday. I was running with him a little bit. He had a fast wagon.
I didn't watch any testing, so this all is right. just going up. This is going off the fly, you know, and I gotta, you know, stay local. Man, there's a lot of good people out there.
Just roll your dice, you know. Could be anyone. Could be me. Who knows?
I know you're good around there. I gotta go with another Ganassi car.
Yeah, that's safe, honestly. That's a safe prediction if you're a gambler.
I can't do that. I got to mix it up.
I love the dedication to this as well, by the way. I love that you really want to nail it.
New Garden.
It's Connor.
You're really close in that top three.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's
that.
All
I do plan. I do plan on winning the event. No big deal. Joseph and I were fastest last week, so we are going to go for it.
I haven't watched anything. I haven't seen anything. But I know
those are solid.
I know who's always cooking around there. I know you're always at the sharp end. So
well, Dixon Kirkwood, New Garden. That's Logan Sargent's top three predictions. I like that. No particular order. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time. I know a few of the other F1 guys. I do plan on asking them at some point, but it just felt like when I sent you a message, I was like, you know what? Tuesday seems like a day where it's not too crazy, so let's just go for it. So I appreciate you being on. We support the F1 grind and Americans in Formula One. So thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. By the way, Tuesdays are good for us. So if they say no, they're probably lying.
Tuesdays are good. All right.
Tuesdays are good.
Logan Sargent, Williams Formula One racing driver. You can see him this weekend on ESPN in Baku. I don't know if it's ESPN 1, 2, 3, or Ocho, whatever it is, but it's on ESPN.
All right, man. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, buddy. Logan Sargent, very great conversation. Loved what he had to say about the Indy 500. And another good get from Connor. That was awesome.
Thank you, man. Honestly, love talking to him. Great conversation. If you don't know much about him, I mean, that was he has not turned into a Formula One driver who doesn't say anything. Like, the guy was honest, and I respect that. So we love that. We love a bit of personality out of our American heroes. And next week, I went a little bit wild on the guest. I didn't really. I basically sent an Instagram DM last night at midnight hoping for a response, and I got a response. So we will not tell you yet. Hopefully the scheduling works out and everything comes, but it'll be really cool. I think it'll be a great conversation. So now we move into one of our favorite segments, one of our only segments, the Ricky Treadway Random Indy 500 Driver of the Week. I have to do this because I have to go to the airport, and like now. So this year is 1937. The year is 1937. We went back many, many, many years. I love that people appreciated last week's random Indy 500 driver, the shark attack.
Yep.
Hysterical. I mean, what a story, honestly. This year, we went to 1937, and we went with a podium finisher. We went with Herb Ardinger. His car was the Chicago Rawhide Oil Seal car. The Chicago Rawhide Oil Seal car, it is awesome right out the gate. Herbert Allen Ardinger, again, this information comes from Wikipedia. We have no idea if it's true or not. Born in Pennsylvania, Glassport, Pennsylvania. He is dead, sadly. R.I.P. Herb, an American race car driver in several Indy 500s, 1934, Skip 35. 36, 37, 38, 39, and then all of a sudden came back in 1947. So look to have a front row start, a top five, and three top tens in the Indy 500. So solid record, honestly. Solid record. Raced from 1934 to 39, including 34, 36, 37, 38. He failed to qualify in 35. That's why he skipped 35. and then finished 6th and 38 in a front drive Miller, whatever that is. And then in 1947, he returned to the Speedway to serve as a replacement driver for Doc Williams, old Doc Williams, and finished a career best 4th as a replacement driver. That's wild. So pretty cool. Wait, no, not career best 4th, because he finished 3rd in 1937. So Wikipedia might have some odd information, but Herb Ardinger basically finished 3rd in 1937. Or, honestly, that might be the starting grid, and he might have started 3rd.
Yeah, he started.
Yep, you're right.
He started 3rd in 1947, and then you're right. In 1947, he finished 4th.
There you go. So
fourth in 47.
I have been led astray by the Indianapolis 500 historical stats. I put in finishing results. They gave me the starting grid. No big deal. So yeah, best finish of fourth. Started on the front row in 37. So that is our random Mini 500 driver of the week. Herb
Ardinger, and that is the last one before we are in the month of May. What a show it's been. Logan Sargeant, American hero in Formula One. We appreciate his time, and we are going racing again at Barber this weekend, and then it's the month of May, baby. You know what it is. Don't have to say much more than that. Connor, you get heading to the airport for Speed Street. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then. Have a good one.
Check out the newest episode of the Dale Jr. Download, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss an episode.
This bit of badassery was made by Dirty Mo Media. Dirty Mo.